quite the one and only Mr. Liam Geddes, who was live in Studio 2. Give him a round of applause there. Yay! An absolute pleasure to have me in tonight.
Thanks very much, Robbie. Delighted to be here.
You're welcome. Liam, first of all, we mentioned, of course, on air that you started off in The Voice of Ireland. How did you get roped into that, first of all?
Well, I suppose it would be my main kind of claim to fame. It did start a bit before then. When I was 16, I started off by doing X Factor, and I did okay in that, and then
16, that's so young.
It was too young, but it was a good experience anyway. And kind of after that, I did Eurosong in 2008, and I lost against Dustin the Turkey, so that was an experience.
School was
a little bit difficult after that.
So you could have went to the Eurovision, could you?
And then I did The Voice of Ireland, and I kind of thought, just before that point, I kind of thought I wasn't really going to do any more of the singing competitions, the televised ones, and just it was supposed to be different. It was supposed to be something new, based on your voice, and I suppose I just wanted to be part of it, you know, because it was something quite new, and it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, it was very new, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something completely different, you know.
Very nerve-wracking for people. Like, you're really putting yourself out there with them.
Yeah. Thankfully, like, I wouldn't suffer too much with my nerves. But even me who wouldn't get nervous, I was still a little bit nervous doing it, you know. But being based on your voice, I think would be sort of my main strength. I wouldn't be a massive performer. I'm not running around the stage or anything like that. So I was excited at the fact that they weren't going to be able to judge you on anything else at that point except your voice. You know, that was exciting to me. But it didn't last too long.
Which year was that again?
2012.
Well, so it wasn't that long ago. It was 5 years ago.
Yeah, but it was great.
And were you gigging around before that? Like, you know, what had you been doing up to that stage?
Yeah, up to that stage I had... after Eurosong was, 2008? I was 17. I think when I was 18, I moved to Dublin. And I really kind of went hell for leather with music. I was kind of determined that was going to be my career. So I started busking full-time. That's how I paid my rent. That's how I learned how to be a singer and musician, I suppose. And I think I at that point I just stopped busking when it got to The Voice of Ireland, and then after The Voice of Ireland it kind of, you know, it took another little step up. And I haven't busked since. No, that's a lie. I busked in Germany last year with my friend Aaron, moved over there. But it was kind of a step up after The Voice, and I've been gigging full time ever since. So
yeah, and how do you find the gigging scene here in Dublin? Like,
it's a massive music scene in Dublin. It's probably I've travelled a good bit around the world, and it's just booming. You know, you can probably go anywhere. You can go into Dublin city centre any day of the week at 10 o'clock and find live music. That's unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's so many cities that's not possible. So it's really good, the community of musicians as well. Like, if you're stuck in a venue and you've forgotten a guitar lead or a mic lead or a mic or something, like, you can just go to another venue and you'll probably find a musician either in the same boat as you or someone who's willing to lend a hand. So it's good, you know.
Yeah, that's great. And you released a single not too long ago, maybe?
Yeah, a couple of months ago I released my last single, was called Real Love. And that was kind of a long time coming. I had been holding that up my sleeve for a while. It was kind of my baby for about a year. I didn't really want anyone to hear it until we had kind of perfected the recorded version of it. Got massive love after that, and the support was really, really good, you know. Amazing to hold on to something for that long, and then to finally get feedback on it was really, really cool. So, you know, anyone who's listening can check that out on YouTube or Spotify or anything like that. So
You're going to play us a couple of songs tonight, are you?
I can play something, yeah. I have my guitar,
I'm
so I kind of just turned up with the guitar. It wasn't even asked.
You probably go everywhere with it, though. So.
Yeah, it's always in the car, yeah. So.
Sign of a true musician, I think.
Well, there you go, there you go.
We'd love to hear something. Are we ready to hear something?
Absolutely. And of course, Liam here, you're with your girlfriend, Niamh, and she's going to film it, which will be up hopefully on. Okay, Liam, what I'm trying to say, well, it's been filmed live in studio as well, which will go up on Facebook page and on, of course, your website as well. And big thanks to your girlfriend, Liam, for doing this. Okay, the first song is going to be.
I'm going to actually play my single that I just released a couple of months ago. It's called Real Love.
Lovely.
Great stuff. Give a loads.
I need another minute. I need another second chance. You got me where you want me. I need another moment. I need another second glance. Don't need another heartbreak in my hands. Cause I know it's hard to let go of everything that you've known. Oh, dive in with me and we won't care. Let the fire burn us to the ground. Bring us to our knees. Cause we got real love, real love. Cause we got real love, real love. It won't be easy. I don't want nothing less. Baby, we'll always be. Cause I know it's hard to let go of everything that you've known. No, don't put it out. Let the fire burn us to the ground and bring us to our knees.
Oh, that was awesome. Liam Geddes, fantastic. And of course, you're great at the guitar as well.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
So if we wanted to go and see you play live, are you playing live anywhere in the next couple of weeks?
Oh, God, I am. Terrible memory. I should be prepared coming into an interview. You can check out all my live dates on my website, which is liamgeddesofficial.com. On my social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, not so much, but I'll try and get the hang of Twitter for my live dates. But yeah, you can find out any of my live dates there. I do have loads, but I'm just too much of a sieve head to remember them.
And do you normally play solo yourself and guitar, or do you have other musicians with you?
Yeah, on occasion I'll bring in other musicians and do 2-3-piece gigs, but it's usually on my own. Yeah, I kind of have done over the years different band setups and everything, and it's always just kind of came around full circle and ended up back to myself. So I think I'm just going to stick with that for the next while and kind of just see how that goes.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk about the song a little bit? Like, can you tell us a little bit how when did it come about? When did you write it?
I wrote that song about a year and a half ago with a good friend of mine, Dan Cainswarren, and he's a really accomplished songwriter, great songwriter. And we kind of, I suppose, the meaning of the song, in essence, is sort of jumping in feet first and kind of act before you think, you know, and that can really apply to any situation, even if it's, you know, taking a risky job or you want to like do a career change, or you know, if it's a love thing, you know. So we really wanted to just kind of capture that idea. And I think we did. You know, that's really what we wanted to do, and I think we did it.
Now, Dan Cainswarren, is he related to Gail Cainswarren and to the Cainswarrens who had a member of the family in The Wanted?
He is.
That's the one.
Jeez, yeah. You're very good, Robbie. On the ball.
Well, Gail, a friend of mine, she got married there recently to our partner Henry, so no, they're the Cainswarren. They like to party and they're a good family and they're very talented, I have to say, so that's great to hear that. I didn't know.
They're all insanely talented.
They really are.
I've never met a more talented family. It's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, and all so good looking as well. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's unbelievable.
You film your own videos too?
I do, yeah. That's kind of a newer passion of mine that really stemmed from music. And I suppose if I'm being completely honest, the reason that I started doing it was to not have to pay someone else to do it for me.
Absolutely, yeah.
If I'm being completely honest. And you know, over the years, it just sort of, you know, I got a really basic camera, and then I got a better camera, and then I got a professional camera, and I learned how to edit. It kind of just built up, and now I'm, I suppose, doing that part time, like full time, as well as the music. I'm earning a living from doing the video production and photography as well, and it kind of came out of nowhere, really. It was something to save me money, and now it's a massive passion of mine, so
that must give you a buzz as well when you see back your video, especially listen to your lyrics or your songs complimenting it.
Yeah definitely. I mean, it's the same kind of principle, I suppose, as the music. You know, you're creating something out of nothing, and it's really cool to come back with something substantial that just stemmed from an idea, you know, in your sitting room or something. So it's kind of crazy how it works. But the same buzz, the exact same buzz, yeah.
Is it something you're interested in pursuing, like, a bit more? Like, you know, do you have any big ideas for films or, like, web series or anything like that?
Yeah, it's interesting you're saying that. Yeah, I kind of I started off, obviously, with music videos, being a musician and filming my own stuff. But I have started thinking about short films, and I've started working on an idea for a short film that obviously I'll be pursuing independently and all that stuff. But it's something that I'm planning on pursuing in a bigger way.
Yeah,
in the future. Yeah, definitely.
Well, there's lots of great independent filmmakers out there in Ireland. Yeah. Like, you know, it's definitely something you could make a career in, you know.
Yeah.
And sure, if you're looking for actors, Robbie and Rebecca there.
There you go. Robbie was in one of
yeah,
the music
we just completely forgot about that. It was Lifeboat, wasn't it?
Lifeboat, yeah.
Yeah, and we filmed it out in Kinsealy, and of course you were doing it with a kind of group at the time. It was a bit of a rap thing going on, but I played a club owner. And Liam kindly asked me to be in it, and it was a good old day, wasn't it?
That was a great day, yeah. No, it was brilliant, and a friend of mine filmed that.
Yeah, and Paddy from First City was in it too, played Zumo.
That's it.
He was the main actor.
Zumo was the main actor, yeah. That was a great day. Yeah, great day.
But as Glenn said, we are available for work anytime you need us for the future. Just give us a shout.
Yeah.
So that might take over your singing a bit. With singing is your first passion, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I started stepping away unintentionally from the music there a while ago, and it's always something that is my first passion, you know. It'll always start and end with music, but it's just interesting that something as powerful as video production and photography and working with a camera can just come out of nowhere, and is such a big passion of mine now. But it will always come back to music. Is always going to be my first, you know, my first real passion. You know,
you're very creative.
Yeah, I suppose it's just the whole creative thing. I just love it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I could draw or paint, I'd probably be an artist as well. You know,
maybe give that a shot as well.
Maybe
in your spare time.
Yeah, I might have an act for it. Yeah.
What gave you an interest in becoming a singer? Are you singing from when you were in your nappies?
Honestly, yeah, it's kind of funny how it came about. I always really wanted to be a singer, but never had a note in my head. I had an awful voice growing up. I went to singing lessons. Yeah, I had hounded my parents for years to give me singing lessons, to get me singing lessons, and they wouldn't. No, we're not spending the money on you. You're not good. Basically, was the general idea. And I suppose my voice broke when I was in secondary school, and I was on the way home from a piano lesson. My mother got piano lessons from this guy at home, and we were on the way back and I said, "Ma'am, do you think I can sing now or whatever? I want to try and sing you a song or whatever." And she was like, "No, you can't sing, so don't, you know, let's not go there." But I basically said, "No, well, I think I can sing now. I know I used to be crap, but I think I'm all right now." And I just started singing Wake Me Up When September Ends by Green Day. That was the band I was mad into at the time. And she pulled the car over and was like, "What the hell? But where did that come from? You could never sing. We better get you singing lessons." And then I went to singing lessons. I was with a singing teacher at home in Ballina in Mayo for about a year. And then after that, she kind of said, "I don't really think there's anything much more I can do for you. You know, you should be looking to pursue this professionally. So, you know, there's not really much I can do for you." So I went up to have an audition with Dr. Veronica Dunn with the Royal Academy of Music. And she said, "Yeah, I think you have a great voice. I'd like to take you on." And then
which is such, for our listeners, that is such a rare thing to happen.
Yeah,
she's very, very, very particular.
She's tough to get a hold of, all right. And even when you're going through the lessons with her, she's ruthless. She really is. And like, she'd be standing over me with a newspaper. If I hit the wrong note, she'd whack me across the head with it.
Old school teacher.
Yeah, not in a malicious way, in a, you know, a light tap. Mm-hmm. But after that I was trained by her for about 6 years, and yeah, now I'm classically trained, so it's, yeah.
Well, like, you've a great power to your voice, like, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
That's really nice. You talked there about Green Day and then about influences. Who else?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of grew up, my mother and father would be very much into swing music, and okay. That's kind of where I started off. Bublé was really big at the time, he was really starting to blow up, so I started doing all that kind of Rat Pack, Sinatra kind of stuff. And then obviously I was doing the classical stuff from Veronica, and I kind of, in the last kind of 6 years, started listening to a lot of pop music, pop and rock music, and my brother was mad into U2 and Nirvana and stuff, so I had like a mad mixture of influences coming in from like different singing teachers, my brother, my parents, like they're all a mashup. So at the moment, like now, I listen to everything.
Yeah.
You know, I my favorite band would be Coldplay. I just think everything they do is just always great. They just change their game every couple of years, and they're just so adaptive, like they just change with the industry, and I think it's crazy how they can evolve with it. There's very few artists that can do that. Like U2, I'd still listen to a bit of Nirvana. Metallica would have been a big not an influence. I can't call them an influence because they're so far away from what I do.
Yeah.
But I would have listened to a lot of Metallica and just everything, literally everything, you know.
That's the way to be, I think. You know, there's no point in cutting yourself off from certain music, like, you know.
Exactly, yeah. No, I don't really think there's a place for music snobbery, especially in Ireland. I just don't think there's really any place for it. You need to be open to different styles, different genres, and if you're really a music lover, I think that's where you need to be, you know.
A good tune's a good tune.
Exactly.
I'm going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers next Wednesday. They were supposed to play in December.
Is that Tenants Vital, or is that where they're playing? Up in Belfast, is it?
No, they're playing in The Point. It was supposed to be last December and he was sick, so they cancelled next Wednesday.
They're great. I've seen them in the Crow Park before. They're amazing. Oh, absolutely amazing.
Show, right. Yeah.
We're looking forward to that.
We just got a text in there from Lisa in Kilbarrick, and she wants to know, when Dustin the Turkey won the Eurosong of you, did you feel a resentment, and could you have won it for us? If you did win us. What do you reckon?
I was 17 at the time, and if I'm being honest, when I did the X Factor when I was 16, I felt resentment there because just the way they build you up kind of makes you feel like, you know, you're going to be the next massive star, and I really believed it. So I had resentment coming out of that, but Eurovision, no, I didn't really resent anybody because you know, the guy behind the puppet is such a lovely guy, you know, and the whole crew were great, and it was sort of, you know, once we found out Dustin, like the other contestants and I found out that Dustin was in it, we kind of all just accepted defeat pretty much instantly.
And it was the public vote, of course, who voted him.
Yeah,
and Dustin was massive.
I
think the people who were actually running the Eurosong for Ireland knew that, I don't know, they probably thought that they didn't want us to win it, and that was their escapism, realistically, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, I could probably talk all day about the it's kind of, yeah, I don't know, it is what it is. It happened, and I mean, it was a great experience. As generic as that sounds, it really was a great experience. It was definitely a show, and people definitely remember Ireland for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, so I mean, they succeeded there.
What'd you do if you were asked next year?
I'd never say never. It wouldn't be something that I'm thinking about right now, okay, of applying for. But if someone approached me, you know, if it was the right song, and if that song wasn't going to get out there unless, you know, someone was there to sing it, then you know, possibly. Yeah, I mean, never say never. I'm not one to really turn down opportunities, but it'd just have to be the right one.
Okay, watch this space.
So gigs coming up. Have you on the horizon there?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually, as I said earlier, I'm really, really bad with my memory's just terrible.
Well, you remember all your lyrics.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird one. I can't put my finger on it, but you know, there you go. I am heading off to do a couple of dates in Germany. I'm only back from Denmark a couple of weeks ago.
Great.
I was gigging over in Marstal there. It's a little island off the coast of Denmark. Then back home, back up to Germany at the end of the month. I'm playing in Hamburg, then I'm home again, and I'm off to the States in December. I'm doing 3 dates there. I have 2 in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and I have 1 that's going to be up in New York as well, in New York City. So you know, that should be fun.
That's going to be exciting. Yeah.
Who organises all this? Do you have a manager, or do you all this yourself?
I do have a manager. Yeah, Conor Mulhall is my manager. Savvy Entertainment. So they'd look after a heap of guys that are blowing up the scene right now, and yeah, they're a great bunch to work with. Yeah, they look after me and book all the dates and all that, and so I don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
That's good.
Which is good.
That's why you don't remember.
That is probably why I don't remember. But I seen the poster, so you know, I should know. I should remember the dates.
And what about an album? Are you working on something? Or?
I'm actually working on recording a song that I wrote years ago with a girl, Jessica Smith. Anyone who's listening should check her out as well. She's an Irish singer and she's fantastic. I think her band now is called Alex and Echoes, but I wrote a song with her a few years ago, and I'm going to re-record it. I had recorded it and not released it. I'm going to re-record it and probably release that, and then I'm going to probably start looking at doing an album. It's crazy. I've been doing this 10 years and I recorded 2 albums that I never released. So third time lucky. I'm going to record an album, and I probably will release it. Hopefully, right. I'll release it.
Well, fingers crossed it does work out. And I guess your first time actually here in Near FM studios, and we're absolutely honoured for you to be here.
Oh, thanks so much.
What an epic voice, Rebecca. You have to agree. You listened to his album all night, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. It really is.
Thanks very much. Delighted.
So when the album is released, will you promise you'll come back and speak to us again if you're not too busy or taken over to the BBC or stuff like that?
If you'll have me, I will, yeah.
Liam Geddes, it's been an absolute honour. Thank you so much for coming on to the Art Show on Near FM 90.3.